Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession, and I go around the world wide web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Fine. Don't take it from me.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
This is Wretched Radio. Whether you've killed anybody's father or not, you need to prepare to die. Have you seen the statistics? Woof. 1,000 out of 1,000 die. You can blame Adam and Eve if you want to, but because of sin, we still live under the curse and we experience the effects of the fall, and ain't nobody going to escape it. I don't care how hard you try to find a fountain of youth. I don't care if you think you can lop off your head, have it frozen in a laboratory, and then be warmed up when we can attach you to a younger body. I don't care if you think we can put a chip in your brain that makes you immortal somehow. You're gonna die. It's a guarantee. And by the way, death is a wonderful evangelistic tool. If somebody ever asks you, well, what are you doing out here? Why are you bothering people? I've actually been asked that before. It was California, nevertheless. And there's a difference witnessing in California versus witnessing in the South. Believe me. And I remember a fellow saying, What are you doing? What's the point of all of this? And if I'd had my wits about me, I could have perhaps stated, I'm so glad you asked. Imagine a man walking through a field when he stumbles over a treasure chest. He goes through all of the authorities who determine it's yours. You rightfully own the treasure chest. How elated would you be, and how desirous would you be to share it with others? My friend, I found a treasure chest, and I want to share it with you. Are you interested in knowing what's in that chest? Because it seems to me we all have a fear of dying. Do you ever have that fear? Well, let's open up the treasure chest to see how that fear might be dealt a fatal blow so you don't have to fear death, which is what the author of Hebrews, aka Bob, states. Everybody has a fear of death. We know it's coming, and yet how many of us prepare for it? So let us, this is going to be a ratings bonanza. Let's talk about dying and death, shall we? I just heard, Jimmy, wow. You know, we hear enough stinker sermons around here, so when you hear a good one, you got to talk about it. I heard a really good one at Alpharetta Bible Church on Sunday.
Oh, did you preach it?
You know, that's irrelevant.
Okay.
I still heard it.
That's right.
It was about illness, because in Matthew chapter 8, you see Jesus. And I fear we have lost so many of the poignant details of this narrative from Matthew. The centurion sends emissaries. In Matthew, it says the centurion came. In Luke, it says that these Jewish ambassadors came. It's one and the same. If somebody on your behalf goes to speak for you, they're speaking for you. So it certainly wasn't wrong of Matthew to say the centurion said, when it was those represent. It's as if he was saying it. That is not a contradiction. That harmonizes just fine. Thank you very much. And they said, there's a centurion and he's got a servant that's dying. And do you know what Jesus said? Hold on. You cut in line. Get to the back, pal. Besides, a centurion? That's a Roman non-Jew oppressive officer. Not interested. Nope. He immediately said, I'll come heal him. Without even being invited. You got somebody sick? I'm on my way. It shows that Jesus is willing. We saw it in the miracle that preceded it. The leper. whatever the skin disease was, it was bad enough, visible enough, that Jesus told him, you got to obey Leviticus 13 and you got to get yourself to the priest now that you're healed to make your offering as commanded by Moses. So he had some form, probably, of Hansen's disease. We call it leprosy. And what did Jesus do with that man? Touched him. He touched him. That makes you ceremonially unclean. Why would Jesus do that? It should instruct us. Our Savior, he's courageous, he's confident, but he's also willing to touch people who are ill because he knows that need of physical touch. The poor fellow probably had not received an embrace from anybody for forever, and Jesus touched him. What a Savior. And he was asked the question, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I'm willing. And then in Mark chapter 1, the parallel account, Mark tosses in this detail that Jesus was filled with splanchnizomai, which is a Greek word that means your guts, your inner man. We use the word compassion. The ancients considered the seat of your affections, your bowels. When you're moved, a feeling, whatever feeling is so powerful, you feel it in your guts. There's a name for a word that sounds like a word. I can't remember what that name is, and I don't even know what it sounds like, but that was one of those words, splanchnizomai. Just has that guttural gut sort of from down there feeling. That's how Jesus felt when he saw the man with skin disease. And Matthew repeated that sentiment four times later in the Gospel of Matthew. He's compassionate. He's willing. Then consider next episode, next miracle in that day. He goes to Peter's house and he makes a beeline to the sick mom. Doesn't stop in the kitchen. Doesn't grab a little something to eat. Would you care for a beverage? Sure. Do you have any sweet tea? Because that, of course, is the most biblical drink available. What? You should affirm that as a Southerner.
I do.
I was just trying to be all things to all people.
Thank you.
That I might win some Southerners. Something like that. He made a beeline to her. She had a fever. So imagine the woman trembling, sick, sweating. He touched her. Was he asked to heal her? Nope. Moved with compassion, he healed her. And that raises the profound question. So if Jesus is so tender, so kind, so generous, so strong, so mighty, so willing, why doesn't he heal me now? Why didn't he heal my loved one? Why do I have a sick child? And we then need to remember the totality of Scripture. Because we see this willing Jesus, he healed indiscriminately. He healed those with faith, those without faith. Yeah, I'm looking at you, word faith preachers. Not everybody had faith who was healed. In fact, there are 35 miracles in the Gospels. 10 of them mention faith accompanying it. Your faith has made you well. 25 don't. In fact, two of them, the centurion and Jairus' daughter, talk about the faith of another. It was Jairus's daughter who was sick, it was his faith that made her well. What do we conclude? That what you're seeing on Prosperity TV, the word faith doctrine, is rank. It is so wicked, because if you don't get healed, you don't have enough faith. How cruel are the shoes, the expensive shoes of word faith prosperity preachers? Why doesn't Jesus heal? He's so willing. In fact, consider the culmination of human history. What's going to happen? You're going to get a body that's built for forever. You're going to be healed. And this, by the way, was provided for in the atonement, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. But not yet. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're going to get saved. Paul had a thorn. Timothy had a bad belly. There were people who continued to be ill, even though they were professing Christians in the New Testament. Why? Because even though physical healing, it is indeed guaranteed because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ who heals our diseases. First of all, Matthew says he really fulfilled that with all of the healings that he did in Israel. But we also have a not yet fulfillment of the physical healing that was purchased for us in the atonement. When God takes us home, when God returns and he gathers together his bride, you're going to live on this redeemed earth with your body forever, and it's going to have no diseases. That's his plan. We can't question God's goodness. We can't debate whether or not he's willing. We can't conclude maybe he's moody. He was kind of crabby in the Old Testament. He was pretty nice around Jesus' time, but maybe, well, he's just gotten a little grumpy and he doesn't like to. You can't come to that conclusion because the fulfillment of all things is going to be you getting an eternal body, no diseases, no more tears, no more suffering. You're going to get a body just like Jesus, built to last for forever. So we can't question God's goodness. But then we must ask, what is the obvious question? Why? And you might think we dare not ask God that question. And I would concur if you are asking that question with a loaded gun. Why? Why are you doing this? We never get to be angry with God. But we can ask him why in a childlike way. And you say, well, why can we ask him why at all if he's God and he's supreme and he reigns? The answer to that question and the reason that perhaps he's not healing you now, next on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you who tune in and listen on a daily basis. And look, things are changing around here. 8 powerful voices joining this ministry. Men like Tim Challies, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, and others. And we need your help in order to make this a possibility. Log on to our website at wretched.org/fellows to get all of the information on how you can join us in our current $250,000 match campaign. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, don't have study Bibles. The amazing Masters Academy International, don't forget they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
As you know, we've been sharing with you, 8 new powerful voices will soon be joining the fold. It's our biggest and boldest move yet. Imagine a Christian version of the Daily Wire. Well, that is what's on its way. But here's where you come in. We need your help to make this vision a reality. We're in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign. Every dollar you give will be double. We know you have questions and we have answers available right now at wretched.org/fellows.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 529 AD. Benedict of Nursia establishes his monastic order outside of Rome. His written code of conduct, called the Benedictine Rule, becomes the most influential guide for centuries of monasticism in the West. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to Segways Aren't Us. This is Wretched Radio. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, Todd.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Speaking of death and dying.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to kill me?
Did that sound kind of Scandinavian right there? Yeah.
A little bit.
Did I just revert to Minnesota speak?
Why are you trying to kill me?
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I don't recall trying to kill you.
Well, you know, there are a lot of new podcasts coming.
Oh, you want me to talk about the new initiative? Look at that segue. You are as subtle as a cannon. There's a new initiative here in Wretched World. The name of the ministry, Gospel Partners Media. We are launching, and I mean launching. Actually, it's almost like a complete facelift, you know, sort of like Lionel Richie. I actually was flipping by the channels. It was Sunday night. I didn't know American Idol was still on 22 seasons.
Yep. We saw that last night.
Whoa. Lionel, we know you're in your 70s. That's all. You're a nice man. I'm just saying nobody's fooled. Jimmy is talking about the podcast that we are going to be launching with this new initiative, this almost total facelift of Gospel Partners Media. We're adding eight new voices, eight theologians, rock solid dudes who are going to be speaking into different areas of interest to the Christian, whether it's church history, whether it's theology proper, whether it is young men, and we got to be talking more to the young men, whether it's science with Jason Lyle, whatever the area of interest, we've got guys who are going to be doing podcasts, videos, articles, books, resources, webinars, new website, new app, the whole shebang, and we could use your partnership. We've got a $250,000 matching campaign right now. That's just incredible. And so many people are stepping up, and I would like to encourage you to help us get to our goal. Now, because by the way, just to share something without actually sharing it with you, we've got phase two of this in 2025, part two of this initiative. I can't tell you what it is, but I'm telling you, I don't know of any other ministry that will be doing what we're doing in 2025. And we could use your support in 2024 to make all of this happen. Dollar for dollar match right now, wretched.org/donate, wretched.org/donate. You got no segues to get me back now into the actual content of the program? Please. I got you, Jimmy.
Okay.
Please give, or Jimmy will get sick and die. Hey, that brings us back to the subject of illness. Why doesn't our willing Savior heal now? I was able to write down two dozen reasons. Two dozens. And here's how I came up with it. Looking at Matthew chapter 8, 1 through 17, we see the willingness of Jesus to heal. Read the Gospel of Mark. Immediately, 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 he's healing everybody. Many came to him. Many were laid at his feet. He healed, he healed, he healed. Virtually obliterating illness in Israel. Why doesn't he heal today? And after I read through those 17 verses, I wrote down 16 descriptors of what we see Jesus doing and being as he went about the business of healing those three people, which, by the way, Jesus at the end of the day, Matthew tells us he healed a leper, he healed a centurion, and then he healed Peter's mother. That was not the end of the day. And then they brought many to him, and he healed them all. He's a hardworking Savior who loves to heal people tenderly, compassionately, kindly. And those are some of the descriptors that I came up with. Here they are. We see in those verses that Jesus is courageous, compassionate, kind, willing, sympathetic. He heals totally. In other words, he's powerful. He's instantaneous when he heals. He's obviously divine. He's safe because there's no side effects with Jesus. He's compassionate. He touches people. He's non-discriminatory. He heals pagan soldiers, servants. He's fearless, touching a leper and a woman with a fever. He's tender, tireless, and he's clearly messianic because he fulfilled the prophecies that we would have a healing Messiah. So now the question, with that as a backdrop, is if he's not healing you or me or a loved one, there must be a most excellent reason for it. Listen to the words of Richard Baxter. God often sees it good for us to be sick and to continue so long a time when he hath higher and more spiritual ends than our health and ease in it. Higher and more spiritual ends. Thomas Watson. God has not told us in so many words that he will heal us, but he has said much about our duty to trust him for healing. If he does not heal us, here it comes, he has good reason for not doing so. Hopefully you can bear this, my Arminian friends. John Calvin, God has the power to heal, and he can do so according to his will. However, we must always remember that God's ultimate concern is not just physical healing, but the spiritual well-being of his people. Sometimes he chooses to heal miraculously, other times through natural means, and sometimes he allows suffering for his own purposes. I would actually amend that. He always does. He's never not doing something. He's always doing something in our tragedies. And by the way, you can expand the illness category into anything difficult: persecution, familial acrimony, broken relationships, employment challenges. He could fix it all. Why doesn't he do that now? Because he has greater purposes. He wants to do more for you. He wants to take you from the slums where we sit and make mud pies to the seashore to say, look at all the good things that I have for you. And I'm going to get your attention when we're, I am so good. I am such a kind father that I am going to ordain difficult things for your life that a spiritual eternal fruit can come from it. So here are, let's just call it 25 ways or 25 things that God is doing in your difficulty. One, he wants you to pray more. Number two, he wants you to rely on him more. He wants to humble you. He wants to keep you from becoming conceited. Anybody in the Bible have a thorn to keep him from becoming conceited? Oh yeah, the Apostle Paul. And what did he do? He prayed more. Three times I prayed. What is difficult? What does pain do? It causes us to go to our knees. I can't control this. I can't fix this. I must look to the heavens and appeal to my benevolent God to help me in my time of trouble. That's what Paul did. And God said, no, it's there so that you do not get conceited. You're doing all those miracles. You got all those revelations. I'm going to keep you humble. Wasn't that kind of God? That's what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 12. He wants to show power through our weakness. That's what he says in 2 Corinthians 12. He wants you to read your Bible more. He wants you to grow in perseverance, character, and hope. That's the promise of Romans 5, 3 through 4 and James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it joy. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Hey, you mean I could be mature if I let God do his sanctifying work in my sickness? Yep. He wants you to trust his promises more. Maybe he wants to pry an idol from your hands. He wants to make you strong, firm, steadfast. That's 1 Peter 5:10. He wants you to spend time examining your walk. He wants you to look more like the poor in spirit beatitudes that he described as being the hallmarks of a genuine believer. Maybe he wants you to mourn over your sin more. Maybe he wants to produce a harvest of righteousness and peace. That's Hebrews 12:11. Maybe he wants you to heal some relationships with your family. This is not inconceivable. A parent who's been separated from child, and we can paint many scenarios, but I think this one is valid. The kid has been awful. The kid has been terrible to mom and dad, never writes, never sends a card. Hears that mom or dad is sick. in the hospital. What happens? Kid comes running. How many relationships have been restored through illness? My point is he's doing something. He's always doing something. He wants to grow you in long suffering. He wants to grow you in sympathy and empathy. He wants you to search your heart and discover sin that requires repentance. He wants you to grow in gratitude. He wants you to be comforted and then comfort others with the comfort that you have been given. 2 Corinthians 1. You learn and then you can help others through the exact same thing. How many times do we see that in the local body? Maybe he wants you to share your testimony of the good that can come from your suffering. He wants to prepare you for greater suffering. He wants you to become more like his son. He wants you to demonstrate his power in your weakness. Oh, there's your 2 Corinthians 12 again. He wants you to grow in assurance. Ooh, how many people long for assurance? And perhaps God has ordained illness, difficulty, whatever package it's delivered in, so that you can know you genuinely, you've endured through it. He took you through it. I am his. Maybe he wants you to be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. 1 Peter 4. Maybe he wants to fit you for heaven, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. God could be giving you difficulty so that you can be storing up treasures in heaven and enjoy him more for forever. Is that an exhaustive list? Not even close, but you can be assured of this. If you're going through a difficulty, it is because God loves you, dear Christian, and he wants to do something for you. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.